Matthew chapter 18, and beginning at verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this admonition that we have in the word of God. I pray this morning, as our pastor comes, that he would open up to us the truths from this passage. Help us to be better Christians, because we not only hear what the Bible says and hear what the preaching is, but be doers of it. God, work in our hearts today. We need you. And Father, if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know 100% sure that they're going to heaven and their sins are forgiven, I pray they'd settle it before they leave this room. Now anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power for this task. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me give you the warning. The warning is concerning your cell phone. Now make sure it is turned off. Check right now. Make sure. If it goes off during the service and we hear it, now you can turn it to vibrate if you want to, but if it goes off and we hear your cell phone, your intestines are going to explode. And that is very painful. So help us, would you please? No cell phone noise for the next few moments. Now I want to talk to you about a very important subject this morning, a very serious matter, really. The last few weeks we've been talking about forgiveness. We talked about God's forgiveness. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. We wrong him, and he is willing to forgive us. I think we've heard so much about the forgiveness of God, I'm afraid we've begun to take it for granted. Well, of course God forgives. You mean that's how you look at it? You're still not amazed that God has forgiven you? It's amazing. It is. The forgiveness of God. We talked about that. Then the next week we talked to you about the place where there is no forgiveness. There is some places, events, things that happen in life and in the next life whereby you can have no forgiveness at all. Well, that was last week's lesson. You need that. It goes along with God's forgiveness. But now this morning, I want to talk to you about the most difficult area of forgiveness. And that's me forgiving you. Not me personally, you. I mean, one person forgiving another person. We all understand God's forgiveness. We understand that. We know this, though. Christian, dear friend, if you do not learn how to forgive, if you do not do that, prepare yourself for a miserable life. The reason so many people are bitter today in their lives is because they have not learned how to forgive. And this morning, we're going to use this parable Jesus gave us. And I'm going to show you from this parable how to forgive. Now, here's the issue this morning. What we need to understand is this. Forgiveness is more for the one who gives it than the one who gets it. It's more for the forgiver than the forgiven. This man here, this man who was forgiven this debt and then went out and would not forgive someone else their debt to him. The loser in the parable is the guy who was forgiven much and couldn't forgive. And believe me, this man lost greatly, as we'll point out to you in a moment, because he would not forgive. So, Pastor Johnson, I mean, I'd like to do that, but frankly, that's all. You don't understand what's happened to me in my life. Now, listen to me carefully this morning. I'm not here to belittle anybody's hurt or what people have done to you or should not have done to you or did do to you. I'm not here to belittle that this morning, and God does not either. You understand, ladies and gentlemen, you're holding your hands this morning. If you have a Bible, you're holding in your hands the eternal Word of God. And when God put this down in print, He understood what you would experience in your life. And believe me, what mankind does to mankind today is of horrible atrocities. And God understood that. God is not asking you to justify the wrong that people have done to you. He is trying to teach you, the one who needs to give the forgiveness. He's trying to teach you how to go on in life even though others have failed you or hurt you or wronged you or done things that they should not have done. Again, forgiveness is more for the forgiver than the forgiven. We need to see that concept. We need to understand that today. We also need to understand this morning. If we will not forgive as we're called to do so, the cost to us who need to give the forgiveness, the cost to us is greater than the hurt they brought in your life. Say, well, Pastor Johnson, if you grew up like I grew up, you'd understand that. I want to be very careful as I say this morning, but I want you to listen to me. You understand today, there are people sitting around you, I guarantee you, who were hurt worse than you were. That doesn't make what happened to you any less important. But there's no way you're going to get to adult age in life without somebody having hurt you. That's impossible. If you have gotten to that place in your life, you probably spent many years in a cave. Because that's just how it is. The parable starts with Peter coming to Jesus and saying, now, my brother, how many times do I have to forgive him? 7 times, is that enough? He's looking for a number here. If I forgive this brother of mine 7 times, Peter had a brother named Andrew. If you have a brother, you need to know to practice forgiveness. All right, look at me. So he says, 7 times, is that enough? How about 7 times? And you know what he's asking for. He's not asking for a number of forgiveness. He's asking for a number so he can start hating this guy. Because if it's 7, 8 is when he's coming after this guy. Right? So if the Lord said, no, 70 times 7. Now that's 490 times. That's per person. Per offense. Not everybody on the planet. One person per offense 490 times. Jesus was not trying to give this guy a number. He was trying to teach him the practice of forgiveness. Good news, people will give you lots of practice. So you're going to practice forgiveness the rest of your life. And listen to me now. And forgiveness is not an event. It is a lifestyle. You're going to have to learn to develop the habit, the practice of forgiveness for the rest of your life. But listen to this preacher this morning. The cost to you is greater. It is greater to not forgive than the hurt that they brought to your life. I guarantee you that. It'll cost you more It'll affect you more than you could possibly imagine. You want, look at me, you want the hurt of this person to continue to hurt you? Listen now, if you don't forgive them, the wrong they did to you, by the way, the wrong they did to you, that's their fault. That you live with the hurt and it continues to hurt you, that's yours. Now that's not fair, Pastor Johnson. They hurt me, I get upset, I'm hurt by it. There's a bitterness that sets in because they've hurt me, and now it's my fault that I'm bitter. It's my fault that their hurt continues to hurt. That's not fair. Oh, it's totally fair. It's completely fair. God did not promise to protect you from what people do to you, but He does promise to protect you from its effect upon you. And that's what forgiveness is. That's why we have an angry, bitter society today. People who are mad at everybody and everything and every drop of the hat, they are always upset about something. You know why? They've never learned the principle of forgiveness, because to forgive means to put it away from you. And God empowered you to do that. So how do we forgive? Hold your Bibles open and follow carefully, please. Number one, here's how you forgive. You must be forgiven much. That's what the parable is. Here is a man who owes his king, master, a debt. And the debt is 10,000 talents. Now, if you take that in, talents is not an ability, it's a monetary amount. If you take 10,000 talents of gold in today's market, you know how much that is? $250 million. This guy must work for the government. Anyway, $250 million. He owes $250 million. The king brings him in on a reckoning day when the king is checking the books. And he says, you owe me $250 million. Pay it. And the man falls down in front of the king and he says, I'm sorry. I don't have that. Please give. And the man does not ask for removal of the debt. He just asks for time to pay it. Just give me some time and I'll do my best to pay this debt. And the king looks at him and says, going to have you sold and your wife and your children. You understand it wasn't an amount that they was going to get out of his family. He was going to enslave his wife and his children and every generation thereafter of this man's family till he paid his debt. This guy's in serious trouble. Now I'm going to sell everything you've got and take it all away from you. Pay it up. And he says, I can't, sir. But if you'll give me time, if you'll just give me time. There must have been something about the way he asked for some time. And this king looks at the man and says, remove the debt from the books. You owe me nothing. Forgiven. $250 million worth of debt. His wife, his children, everything he owns, his life will never be the same, and every generation thereafter will be affected by this. In an instant, it's wiped clean. This man is forgiven much. Yes? Now look at me. See, here's what we think. How can I forgive them for the wrong they have done to me? How do you expect that to happen? Am I supposed to just say, I forgive you, and it all goes away? I mean, what is it? Look what they've done to me in my life. Look what they've done to me and my family. Look what they've done to my life, my future, my heart, my body. Look what they've done to me. And we're looking at what they have done to us instead of realizing the first step to forgiveness is realizing, but friend, you who have been wronged must understand you have been forgiven much in your life. The king in the parable is the God of heaven, ladies and gentlemen. You and I, we are the $250 million man. That's what we are. And if our Father today, our Heavenly Father, were to exact of us and from us what we owe Him for the sins we have committed, the wrongs we have done, the things we have done that have affected the lives of others, if He exacted of us that debt, it would be hell forever. In eternity, burning in fire, torment forever. But one day, somebody told us God loved us and that Jesus died in our place. And Jesus, who never sinned, took our debt upon Himself. and paid that at the cross. Rose again 3 days later, and Jesus paid our debt. And for Jesus' sake, God was willing to forgive you. In that moment when you came to Christ and you trusted Him for your salvation, He forgave you of much. Yes? Okay, look at me now. And if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, trust me, He has forgiven you of much. But what's that got to do with me forgiving somebody? The whole point of the parable is to remind this $250 million man whose books have been wiped clean that he has been forgiven of more than he's being asked to be forgiven for someone else. And if you can't see it that way, you'll never forgive anybody. Look at me. If your sin that would have sent you to hell and the forgiveness of God for Jesus' sake was given you, if that anywhere, anything anyone has ever done to you, whenever it gets equal to that, you can't forgive. Look at me. You won't forgive. Look at me. You won't see the purpose in it. Look at me. It won't make any sense to you. Because what they have done is greater than what you did to God. Greater than what you did that nailed Jesus to the cross. You have to be forgiven much. Brother Ms. Allen sang that song this morning, broken and spilled out. You know, that's in Luke chapter 7. Where the Bible said Jesus was sitting in a Pharisee's house and a sinful woman came in. And everyone's gathered around the Lord and this sinful woman comes in and she begins to weep. And she washes Jesus' feet with her tears and dries His feet with her hair. And she had an alabaster ointment box and she broke it and anointed His feet and His head. And Jesus turned to the owner of the house. He said, Simon, let me ask you a question. He said, ask on, Master. And he says, so suppose a man was owed a certain amount of money, let's say 100 pence, another owed 50 pence, and he forgave them both. Which one do you think would appreciate the forgiveness more? The man said, well, sir, I guess the one who was forgiven the most. Jesus said, yes. See this woman right here? I've come in here, Simon, and you didn't do what she did. And yes, she's a sinful woman. But she's here to get it right, Simon, and this woman is going to be forgiven because she loved much. And her forgiveness is greater because she appreciates how much she is being forgiven for. And that's the problem this morning. When what someone does to me is greater than what I did to God, that's why we can't forgive. So question this morning, have you been forgiven much? That it's available to us, that Jesus went to the cross and paid for our salvation. He made one great payment for the sins of all mankind. One sweeping, massive moment. God wiped the slate clean and was willing to forgive anybody, and it's all available. But wait a minute. Then, in mercy, He let each of us come one at a time to obtain that forgiveness. There is no universal salvation. There is no collective forgiveness. God's provision for forgiveness was taken care of at the cross. But each and every one of us must come to Christ, trusting Him for our salvation and receiving the forgiveness that we need. Do you know why? There's many reasons why biblically, but in the context of forgiveness, here's why. Because every one of us deserve to go to hell when we die because of the sins we've committed. And yet God, for Jesus' sake, is willing to forgive each and every one of us when we come to Him for salvation because He wants us to remember how much we have been forgiven. I got saved when I was 9 years old. You can't really get yourself in a whole lot of sinful trouble by the time you're 9. Yeah, you can. I was 9 years old, and when they told me I needed to acknowledge that I was a sinner, I didn't have a problem with that. No problem at all. At 9, I understood it. See, it doesn't make any difference. It's so exciting to see our young people in our church here getting saved as children, young children. That's so important. But God had to save those kids from the same hell He saved a drunkard in the gutter from. Same one. Because it's sin that crucified Jesus, and our sin put Him there. That's much, friend. When you lose sight of that, then I guarantee you, you don't see the point of forgiveness. I don't care what I tell you, how many buttons that I push, you have to be forgiven much to grant forgiveness. You have to see it like that. How do you forgive? You must be forgiven much. Then number two, I must see what they have done as little. Look there in Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 28. Now this man, forgiven much man, $250 million man, he walks out of the place. He is still, come on, he's got to be just a little happy. $250 million gone. He steps outside of the door. Verse 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, verse 28, which owed him 100 pence. You know how much that is? That's $2. $2. Okay, here we go. Uno, dos. Right here. He catches this guy and he says, you owe me $2. The $250 million man. You owe me $2. Give me that money. Gets him by the throat, the Bible says. Pay me what you owe me. And the guy makes a familiar speech and says, I don't have it, but if you'll give me time. Boy, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? I mean, the words are not even old yet that the man has spoken himself. And now his $2 friend is standing there saying, would you give me a little bit of time and I'll pay that $2 back to you, sir. And this guy, $250 million man, looks at the $2 debt and says, forget it. Don't even bother with it. Oh, no. He drags him down to debtor's prison and throws him in debtor prison, which in those days, 100 pence could be paid off in just a matter of a few days. And he says, you're going to stay in there till you pay me my $2. We look at the parable and we think, what is wrong with this guy? Look at me. Because he's been forgiven so much, why can't he forgive $2 worth? That's how you have to see what they've done to you, how little it is. If you have been forgiven much, everything else that's been done to you is $2 worth. That's the only way you'll ever forgive. The only way. Oh, no, not us. No, 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 no. They have wronged me. They took this from me. They took that from me. They took this away. They've done this. They've done that. Hey, more than once. Why, that person's on a personal crusade to ruin my life. After time, after time. And that's just not right. It's $2 worth compared to hell and forgiveness. And if you see it like that, you can forgive. Look at me. I wouldn't waste my time on $2. $2 is $2. I mean, I was raised by my grandparents. They taught me the principle, $2 is $2. It ain't a lot of money, but it's still $2. That's why so we had a garage sale recently. My wife would not let me work in the garage sale because I ain't arguing with nobody over a quarter. Well, it's 25 cents. Will you take 15? Take it. Just take it, man. You're hurting that bad pal. You can have that stuff. Matter of fact, take that whole table right there. Just back up the truck and push it all in there and drive off out of here. I wouldn't grab somebody by the throat and drag the debtor to prison for $2. That's more than $2 of your time to get him into prison. Because it's just $2. But my daddy was a Baptist preacher, ran off with one of the women in the church. It broke my mother's heart, and she turned to drink and became a drunkard. And my stepfather beat us when we were children. Lived in this town right here in a drunkard's home. And my childhood was not a natural childhood. The day came, I faced my father and was willing to forgive him just like that. I was 21 years old when my dad looked at me and said, I'm sorry, son, for what I did. I was wrong. I was about a year old when he did it. 20 years waited for that great speech of forgiveness. And he was very sincere about it. He said, I'm sorry, son. I'm just sorry. Would you forgive me? I said, Dad, not a problem. He goes, now, come on, Michael, don't do that. I go, no, I'm serious. He goes, I'm asking you to forgive. I said, I forgive you, Dad. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Yeah, Pastor Johnson, it's easy to say those words. It's easy if it's $2 worth. Because that's what it is. I can't stand at the cross and see a bleeding, dying Savior taking upon Himself the punishment and the penalty for my sins, and God in a moment wiped it clean in faith in Christ, and turn around and say, yeah, but He took my childhood away from me. No, He gave me heaven instead of hell. He gave me forgiveness instead of indebtedness. He gave me so much more. It's $2. I'm sorry, but it's $2. And if you can't see it like that, you're going to spend the rest of your life feeling like the world owes you something. Everybody owes us something nowadays. We're all, everyone, yeah, I shouldn't have got that. That shouldn't have happened to me. And it shouldn't be one of those. And one more time, please listen to me. I'm not belittling the hurt of it all. I understand all that. Been there, done that, and bought that stupid T-shirt and lived on that. And by the way, lived a bitter life all my teenage years. Fought at the drop of a hat and dropped my hat every chance I got. Mercy and grace of God kept me from being killed in certain situations because of the bitterness that was in my life. Till I understood. Okay. It's like Joseph in Genesis, who was sold by his brothers into slavery. 20 years of his life are gone. And then while Joseph sits on the throne in Egypt after going from the pit to Potiphar's house to the prison and all this stuff that happens to Joseph in his life, and there come those brothers. 13 years into the mess, and they're kneeling in front of Joseph, and they don't know it's their brother they sold as a slave. He has the power to do whatever he wants to them. Finally, pure revenge. And he forgives them. After their father Jacob dies, the brothers deceive him again. These guys are complete lowlifes. They deceive Joseph again. They send a messenger to Joseph after Jacob dies. And they say, our dad said you had to forgive us. Jacob made no such statement, and they didn't even have the guts to go see him face to face and ask him for it. They keep lying to this man. And Joseph's response to another bitter arrow in their heart is, he weeps. And he says, am I God that I would hold this against you? Hey, who was in the prison for 20 years? Huh? Joseph? Well, those mealy-mouthed brothers of his who went around their entire life like the fabled man Sophocles with the sword hanging over their head, wondering when the brother was going to come down with a big hammer and let him have it. Joseph had already forgiven his brothers, and he enjoyed his life. Had Ephraim and Manasseh fruitful and their lives and fruitful and blessed, and doing what he's supposed to do, forgetting it. He put it all behind him. Joseph was good with all that stuff. You have to see it as little now. Listen, how do you forgive? You must be forgiven much. Number two, you have to see what they have done to you as little. Then number three, I must see this. I must see the damage if I do not forgive. The forgiven man is the one who's going to lose the most. Verse 28, when it says this same man, it didn't just mean this guy over here. It means this. This same man is the man who just walked out of the throne room having been forgiven a $250 million debt. This same man should be, I don't know, running down the street having a Baptist hallelujah fit. Don't you think so? A little happy, maybe, right? A little pleased with the fact that, whoa, I've just got $250 million off the books. And the king gave that to me. No, look at me. He walked out of the place of forgiveness the same man. How could you be the same after you've been forgiven? You can't be the same. You understand that? Ladies and gentlemen, how could we be the same ever again for the rest of our lives? I don't care if you got saved 70 years ago. How could we ever be the same again? Forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. How could we ever be the same? This man was not even affected by his forgiveness. Oh, yeah, $250 million, that's good. Hey, $2 man, come over here. Well, no wonder he's like that. Huh? This man, look at me. This is a miserable man in his life. Because this guy owes him $2 and won't pay it back. That's what the problem is. No, because your child broke your heart. That's what the problem is. Because your dad messed with you in life, and that's what your problem is. Because things didn't go the way they're supposed to go, and that's what your problem is. Because you didn't get what you wanted in life, and that's what your problem is. No, the problem is you left forgiveness the same as you came. There's something wrong here. You see the cost of no forgiveness? No changed life. You know what changes your life? Huh? When you let it go, and you finally let it go. Well, Pastor, you talk about your dad and what happened. That's right. Right here in this pulpit, or when I'm preaching the Bible, I never think about it. I don't want to. But it's gone. You understand? It's a forgiven thing. My dad lives in this town. Goes to another church. Basically still doesn't want anything to do with our family. But it's all right. Because as a 9-year-old boy, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I've not been the same. And when I look at what God's done in forgiving me, I'm not the same about this thing. I don't want to go around the rest of my life with a chip on my shoulder, living my life like some kind of a spiritual punk because everybody owes me something. Look at me. I'm not the same. And you aren't either if you remember this thing about forgiveness. See, the cost is nothing changes in your life. You're stuck with the bitterness. And it's not their fault. It's yours. He's the same. Verse 31 and 32, he loses the favor of the king. Whoa. $250 million man, his servants hear about the $2 altercation. They go to the king and they say, we're sorry to tell you this, but that man you forgave all that debt, he just jacked the guy up for $2. That's in the Greek, jacked him up. He just jacked the guy up for $2. He's in debtor prison. You're $250 million man. He's out there throwing people in jail for $2. And the king said, oh, well, it's the economy. He had a difficult childhood. He's going through the terrible twos, even though he's 50. And after all, no, the Bible said the king was not pleased. Uh-oh. The one who had forgiven him so much is not happy with this man. You know what you lose when you don't forgive? You lose the favor of the king. That's fellowship. And that is too high a price to pay. Now look, I don't have close fellowship with my father. That's his choice. And I've just stepped back from the situation, tried years ago to get things when he first moved to town. Didn't work out, blah, blah, and all that. Now, don't need to play any music for me. I'm fine this morning. And I'm not saying, well, I'm not going to go see him because he won't go see me. Oh, come on, grow up and quit acting like a child. But he doesn't want to have the relationship, so I step back because he keeps stepping back. So fine. That's the way it is. That's the way it goes. I got a wife that loves me. I got kids that love me. And I got the best grandkids on the planet. And that's too bad for you. You can't acknowledge it. But the truth of the matter is, life is good, folks. Life is very good. And you know why? Because I sat this morning early, took my Bible and read it. And there's nothing between my soul and the king. Because it's done. You understand? Now the king is not happy with this man. And now the king who was so forgiving is not going to be forgiving now. You know the principle. If you won't forgive, you can't be forgiven. There's nothing someone does to us that's worth losing fellowship with God over, not relationship now. Once you're saved, you're secure. God keeps you there. But you can't lose fellowship with God. That's too precious to us. At least it should be. Unless you like the bitterness. You like the woe is me, simpering, whiny stuff. Well, Pastor Johnson, you're not being very compassionate. I'm trying to help you understand something this morning. What's worse than someone sitting around who could forgive and won't and sinks to the bitterness of their life and blames the world for it? What's worse than that? Someone who has no fellowship with God. That's what's worse than that. He loses the favor of the king. Oh, my. Then it says in verse number 34, the king says, okay, here you go. Then I'm going to put you in prison. And I'm going to make you pay $250 million out of your carcass, pal. Now, the $2 man, he got out in a few days. This man, he's going to be here for a while. He said, I'm going to deliver you to the tormentors. Okay, one more time. Who loses more here? The one who forgives or the one who won't forgive? The one who will not give forgiveness, he is now tormented. Loss of peace, loss of joy, loss of blessing, loss of help in life. You're in big trouble. Yep. And it's their fault, Pastor Johnson. No. It's yours because you wouldn't give up a $2 debt. And if you would have, you'd still be walking the streets a happy $250 million man. You would be. Uh-oh. One more thing, quickly. And the king says, that $250 million I forgive you, I want it now. The old debt comes back. Uh-oh. You know how you can never, ever, ever get away from the wrong people have done to you? do not forgive them, you'll bear their wrong the rest of your life. And that hurt which they brought into your life will continue to hurt you for the rest of your days. But one more time, if they hurt you, it's their fault. If you live with it, it's yours. And you can go to every psychiatrist and psychologist on the planet, and they'll read your aura and feel the bumps on your head and give you all the medication you ever wanted and tell you it's not your fault, and that you'll live the rest of your life with the it's not your fault thing, but you'll still carry the debt. And that's what this man has. The debt came back. After, I don't know how long it lasted. It must not even been 24 hours, and this man is back in debt again, and he has the old debt there. You want that? You want the old stuff in life just to hang on to you? And you spend the rest of your life with that? I use my past as a tool in preaching to help people understand that I understand how it is to live with people who've hurt you. I understand it. But I'm here to tell you this morning, there's nothing between my God and myself and any human being on this planet. My 70x7 came in the ministry when I got in the ministry 31 years ago. I've had people threaten to kill me. Me. Teddy bear. Can you believe that? Threatened to kill me. Vandalized our house. Said awful things to our children to hurt us. By the way, and that's a very small fraction of what's happened in the ministry, but that still hurts. See, when you grew up in a drunkard's home and you see this guy beat your mother, you have this thing about protecting your family. And it really gets to me when that happens. And every time I say that, inevitably somebody goes after one of my family members just to hurt me. There are people who live like that today. It's a sad situation. But there are very few of them, thank the Lord. And they're always out of gun range. But anyway, the point is, I mean God's range. Excuse me. I got that wrong again. So that thing with my dad, see, that's not the last time I've had to forgive somebody. It's not going to be the last time, and you're not going to ever get to the last time. But if every time, not a problem. Because I have been forgiven so much in my life. And I don't want to carry that old debt around anyway. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.